Well, you need to be careful about that, because I've been told at the shop I can get a little long-winded too. So, first I want to pray. Father God, even though that this is what you've given me, I want it to be exactly what you asked for tonight, Father God. I want it to be you and not me. Father God, keep my mind clear and keep my mind stayed on what you have for tonight, that it blesses those others here, Father. But first of all, let it touch me, Father, and work in me. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. First off, I got to apologize to Pastor. I should be through with my course already. I've been lollygagging a little bit. God told me you need to get done. So I apologize. I finished the course. Now we just got to do the paperwork. You know, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, as everybody's been speaking, a lot of the words we've been getting, we hear, trust in me. But how much do we trust God? And I'm going to just kind of skip around a few scriptures, but I'm not going to ask you to open your Bible for it, because I have several places I want to go with it, but I'm trying to keep it down to a minimum. I know we're going to eat tonight too, so. You know, trust is an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. So, you look at the character of God. He is love. The ability, it's unlimited. I mean, you can start in Genesis. Let there be light. Spoke it. He didn't do anything but speak. None of us can do that. The strength, it's unmatched. He beat death. Truth, he created us. He created everything. He's not a man that he can lie. More than saying, I trust God, is trusting God. You know, when he says, trust in me, who's he asking you to trust in? Our loving Father. You know, we sing that song. We sing for joy at the works of his hands. What did he put his hands to? One thing. Man. Everything else he spoke. He lovingly formed man and then breathed into him. We've been studying in class, which I appreciate our teachers very much. We're studying relentless. We've been talking about relentless prayer. Well, if we trust God, we need to be relentless with our prayer. I'm going to tell y'all a quick little story. I'm kind of visual. I know a guy that was sitting on a front porch. Hadn't worked in 2 months. Didn't know what he was going to do. Had a cup of coffee in a hand. Back in that day, he smoked. Was smoking a cigarette, drinking that coffee. Finished them both. He said, God, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to sell all my tools, go back to work for somebody else? Nothing happened. That guy got up, went in the house, got a cup of coffee, went back to the front porch, commenced to drinking that cup of coffee, smoking another cigarette, finished that cup of coffee, said, God, what do you want me to do? Do I need to sell my tools, go back to work for somebody else? I don't know what to do. Well, I can tell you who that guy was. It was me. About that time, the wife come out the door with a phone in her hand. She said, it's Brent. I said, okay. He says, hey, my wife just reminded me that you do trim work and things like that. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, we got a little project going on over here. I said, okay. He said, we're doing some apartments. He said, you'd be interested in maybe trimming these apartments out. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Well, come on over and take a look at it. So he gave me the address. I jumped in the car, went over and looked at it. And as I'm pulling in this drive of this place, there's an apartment building sitting here, but there's five more concrete pads laid out. I'm like, okay, I'm one guy. I had no help at that time. I'm one guy. So I go back there and find the little job trailer, and I walk in, and I'm talking to Brent, and his other superintendent he has with him. And they're like, yeah, we got 124 more apartments to do. Remember, I'm one guy. He said, you interested? I'm like, yeah. I need to go home and pray about this. I said, I'll let you know something tomorrow. So I went home, and I sat down on the couch, and I'm like, probably staring off into nowhere. Candace says, what do you think? I said, that's a lot of work for one guy. And I sat there a little bit longer, and she said, well, what do you think? I said, I think I need to go pray. So I went back to the bedroom. You know what the first thing I told God was? I'm so sorry I've had you in a box that big all my life. I didn't have a lot of trust. You know, that's for a small businessman to breathe and live on this world with a God that's so loving and that can do anything more than we can ever imagine. To try to keep him in a box like that. Even though I had him in that box, he had more love for me. I said, I want you out of that box. I don't want to ever put you in a box again. Amen. I called Brent the next day. I said, well, I think I can do it for this much. He said, well, we got a guy that can do it for this, but we don't really like him. He's going to be really slow. I'm still one guy. And he said, if you can do it for this, we'll give it to you. I thought about it about a minute. I'm still one guy, and I'm still going all spins on me because I got no idea where I'm going to get me some help. So they gave me the job. 124 apartments I needed to go in and put the trim in. I went back home. I was sitting on the couch. A friend of mine had quit his job about 3 days before that. I knew that he would do that kind of work. Picked up the phone and I said, hey, man, I got this project up here I'm going to need some help with. I said, would it take a week for you to come help me? I said, we got to get some more help because I'm still just one guy. If you better give us two that we can head up some crews, we can do probably two apartments at a time. He gave me a price, so we agreed on it. So Sunday morning, I went into church. Back then, you were still at First. It was Sunday morning. This is towards the end of June, and I'm sitting in church, and I just happened to just look around, and here's all these good, healthy-sized high school kids walking around, the boys. I'm like, I wonder if they got anything they need to do this summer. I hired 9 of those high school boys and started that project. By the time that we finished that project in October, Lucas was one of the guys that was working with me. Some of his family. We ended up with more adults hiring on as the kids went back to school. In October, when we finished the job, the doors that they'd sent were starting to buckle, so we had the guys were changing the doors, and they took me into the plant at Primcor. The owner of the company wanted to keep me where he knew where I'd be when I come out so he could put me back to work building his and his daughter's house. So we did away with that box. God blessed me over the years. Just more than I could really ever think that I'd get. The last few years, he even added to it. I'm not bragging on me. I'm not bragging on what I do. God has given me everything I have paid for. I don't pay a land note. I don't pay a car note. I don't owe anything for my tools. We just do. It was a little slow this year. I think part of that is because when he did that, I put him back in a box, just a little bit bigger. He's not literally in that box, but the things I think and the things I do geared towards God puts him in that kind of constraints about what he's allowed to do. He says, trust in me. You know, Psalms 50:10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We say it all the time. Not only does he say that, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:28 talks about the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. Amen. If he's our loving Father and we trust him, as Pastor preaches, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it will be done. And at that point, he doesn't say my will specifically, but if you're abiding in him, it's going to be within his will. Amen. He gives us nothing but good. Amen. Why can't we trust him for the bigger things? And I'm not talking just financially. I'm talking spiritually. Pastor spoke the night that Tin Dang was here. There's going to be a couple of couples that are going to have to go and return and do things. And God's going to make sure and take care of what you're already doing here when he sends you. I love what I do for a living. I love hearing a customer say that it was exactly what they wanted or how pretty it is. I'm at the point in life over the past few weeks, if he said walk away, I would. The last week, I've had 2 meetings. I had an insurance guy stop at my office. He says, this was 3 weeks ago, the first one stopped. He says, I just need a little bit of your time. Okay. He said, let's set it up for next Tuesday, 2 o'clock. So Tuesday this past week, he comes in. He's got his boss with him because he's in training. So we go in the office. They're like, well, I'm only going to take about 10 minutes of your time. That's about all of my time they got, that they took. I gave them about an hour worth of scripture and preaching. It flows easy. You get me in the shop, somebody asks me, one of my hands asks me something about God, we're there 2 hours before I realize that we ain't done nothing but talk about God. I find that I love doing that more than anything else I do anymore. I go out to look at a house the other day. It's another lady. She's got some stuff she needs done. So we get all the measurements and what she needs. And we spend an hour talking about God. I don't want him in a box this big. I venture to say we have some that have him in a box that big even. You know what I like about a box? Sorry about that. I can't put him back in that box. I didn't know it till I kind of give her a little bit of an idea what she had or what I was doing. She said, you know, I've been praying. God, wet my box. That's what my wife's been praying. What happens when you wet a box? It falls apart. Can't be used anymore, right? I challenge everybody here, if there's something you really, really want God to do for you, pray that he wets your box. On top of that, I got to tell you, I know a lot of people have passed lately. I know of a couple that I've known that I can't say they're saved when they left. One of them was a very mean person that I knew. My heart still cried because it didn't matter. I couldn't say enough. I guess I'd have to say I'm kind of like Billy Graham anymore. I don't want to stand before God and him say, what about that one? If you're not saved, you need to be. It's the only way to heaven. That's about all I can give you, Stephen. That's about all I had.
Dare to say we probably all got God in a box some kind of size. You know, I guess I would, a lot of times we think that God's only in this box. May not be the little box, but only inside of this box. This is the only place he resides, is here. I just want to let you know that for sure, thank God he was not only in that box, because when he found me, I sure wasn't in this one. And if every one of us would probably say the same thing, you wasn't here when he found you. You'd be like Chad and be sitting in front of your TV with nobody around and he found him there. You know, and I've heard story after story, so thank God we don't have to stay in a box. Amen. I think we need to have a box opening party. Like Stan said, we just need to take the lid off the box, flatten it out. None of my kids served the Lord, and I kept him in a box because I knew how he would do it. I know this is what you're going to do, Lord. Same way. I put him in a box. So if you got God in a box, I don't you stand up? If you got God in a box, stand up. If you would, come on up. If you got God in a box, come on up. We serve a loving God with no limits. There's no limits to what he can do. And there's no one way that he's going to do it. He's going to do it however that suits him and you best. He's not going to do anything that's going to hurt you. Even when you think what you're going through is hurting you or it's putting you in a bad situation, God knows the end from the beginning. And he knows all the middle and exactly what steps you have to take to get to where he wants you to be. He knows. And he cares about every situation that you're in. I don't know his ways, and it's probably best. If you want to pray for somebody up here, you can leave your seat and come pray with them if you don't mind.
Fine. Oh. shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings, yes, they will.
Yes, they will.
Like the
Would you welcome Vanessa Presley as she comes to bless you?
I'm waiting on you. Waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. And I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seem to find my strength while I'm waiting on you.
Well, thank you, Reverend. That was good. Amen. I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you to make the men's fellowship, but I also want to encourage you, of course, to go to the conference. The conference that's going to be in April. There's just something about getting away in a different setting, different place. Nothing against you ladies, because I love you, every one. But sometimes it's good for guys just to be with guys. Iron sharpens iron. And sometimes it's good for us guys just to be with us guys. And worship together and praise God together. And I'm going to tell you, I took these ladies, the seniors and the ladies, to these events. And I will tell you that it just did something wonderful in my heart. Because on the way home, I heard people that had formed relationships that were laughing and cackling, snorting. Everyone was convinced that Teresa had suffered a murder that she had been murdered sometime in the night. They thought about calling the room next to her, I believe, thought about calling the front desk. And somebody said, no, let's just be quiet and see if anybody else gets killed. Something about some girl sneaking over to her bed and grabbing her by the ankle at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what all went on there. I wasn't there. But it's those types of friendships that you form and bond. And I don't want anybody grabbing my ankle at 2 o'clock in the morning. That wasn't a suggestion. It's just an example. But I just want to encourage you guys, sign up. Make time to do it. It's a Friday and a Saturday. It starts Saturday, Friday evening. It's got a meal involved in it and a breakfast. $65 for an overnight stay and two meals is not a lot of money. And I want to encourage you, sign up. Let's go. Let's have a good time together. Let's form some relationships. Let's have some male boy time. I think I better quit. This sounded worse and worse, isn't it? Do what? Do what? I didn't hear what you said. No. I'm not. So let's quit talking. Stand with me. I just want to encourage you to sign up. I'm trying to encourage you here. And guys, I mean, if you teenagers, you know, you would like to go too, I'd love to have you too. I don't want you in my room. You step too late. But but anyway, I'd love to have. Just love to have a good group go from this church. And so, God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord God, of fellowship. Lord God, thank you for the food that's been prepared, oh God. Thank you that He who have been preparing our hearts all day, Lord God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, God, that continually ministers at this church and touches hearts and minds and souls. Thank you for the services that you've given us today, Lord God. Totally different services, Lord God, but each one deep and ministering to our souls, oh God. Touching us where we live. And Father, I just pray now, Lord God, that you would bless, Lord God, that you would anoint, Father God. Bless the food that's been prepared and bless the time of fellowship. And we give you praise for tonight. In Jesus' name and for your glory, amen. Amen. God bless you.